What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording. It is now October 7th. We're recording on a Tuesday night. This week, the Red Raiders have now moved to 5-0 and to the top 10 in the country at number 9 after defeating the Houston Cougars in H-Town in Lubbock South over the weekend with a dominant victory over the Cougars in what was a pretty packed house for Red Raider fans in enemy territory. So another solid win for the Red Raiders to move to 5-0. So we've got that to discuss, and we've got the first Big 12 home game of the season coming up this Saturday as the Kansas Jayhawks come to town as its homecoming. So we've got a lot to discuss with another victory and another big game on the horizon. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, the Red Raiders moved to 5-0 and 2-0 in Big 12 conference play after a 35-11 victory over the Houston Cougars this past Saturday. Starting off conference play 2-0 with two road victories, so that's impressive. Both of these games were won pretty handedly as well. What are your thoughts a few days removed from the victory over the Houston Cougars in their Powdered Blues,
yeah,
which are becoming
blues.
Very friendly to the Red Raiders.
Every time we get them on the schedule, that'd be nice. Or they can just retire them. I mean, if that's what we did to them, that's fine. Also, we knew how this was going to go on Saturday.
Yeah. Do you think they feel like the Powdered Blues, like we do with like the gray jerseys?
Too bad they just look way better in them. They just don't play good against us in them. But yeah, we knew how Saturday
cool.
was going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, even with a goofy kind of around the college football world with Texas losing to Florida and Penn State really losing to UCLA, who hasn't led a second all year, and which all that helps you in the rankings, obviously.
Bizarre.
In the state with our rival UT. So we handled business. Coming off the bye,
he's not ranked anymore.
People might have been a little weary. Maybe that attributed to some drops early, but besides that, pretty well played. I mean, besides the drops, nothing looked like it was rusty. Mack Leftwich was still dialing it up. Chilwood was having a heyday with his defense against Dalton Merriman, like we expected. I mean, you injured their quarterback and to play their backup.
Yeah.
So they were really down bad for that. And, like, again, kind of like last week, you had a good dominating game, but quite a few coaching points you can still take from it with the penalties, again, kind of coming at you.
Yeah.
Cost you a little bit in the red zone. And then the draw passes. You dropped at least two, maybe three touchdowns. On that. And I mean, Barron still had a great day without those. And so, great game overall, still imperfect and can have some coaching points, but everybody played so, so good. It's going to be hard to rip on anybody completely.
Yeah. I'll take having not a great day and still winning 35-11 on the road. Yeah. Like, give me that all of the time. Like, especially like when you brought up the points of watching Penn State and Texas and these teams go on the road and struggle, to watch you go in to a team that severely wanted to beat you and a fan base that really wanted to beat you, and you go into their house, even though it's still a large portion of Tech fans there, which is still awesome. But it's still not easy to do, and you've gone in on two road games and you've just been the dominant team. And so that's just an encouraging thing to see. That's something we're not used to as Texas Tech fans over the last decade plus of watching Texas Tech football. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really fun game. I loved watching David Bailey, a guy we'll get into a little bit more, put nightmares into Dalton Merriman and that offensive line. It didn't matter what side he was lining up on. Dude had 11
22
QB
attempts.
He was
That's insane.
Yeah. Half of the time he's out there, he's getting a QB pressure. And his like win rate, yeah, his win rate was 46%. So just a dominant game from him. The defense was fun. Jacob Rodriguez was out there balling. The offense, yeah, I definitely thought there was some bye week blues on the offensive side of the ball, specifically on the receivers. Just some drops. I think the first two possessions you dropped what would have been touchdowns, you know, on both of those, and you ended up having to settle for a field goal. So the score being 35-11 really isn't even as close as this game should have been. It should have been much more like the score that you predicted, I think, more in that 50 range than at 35, but some drop passes here or there kind of haunted you once again with some penalties on the offensive side of the ball. Things that you can clean up. And so that's the encouraging thing is like these are, and the other encouraging thing is like these haven't been really destroying you. You know, they haven't really been hurting you so far this season. So you definitely know you need to clean that up for bigger games down the road, because you can't have those kind of situations hurting you. You can't have those drop passes hurting you in big situations. But, you know, luckily everybody played pretty well in this one. I thought Barron looked really good. I thought, you know, there's some people saying Will Hammond, but I didn't think anything was Barron's fault. I thought he was making some pretty damn good throws. The receivers just weren't doing him a whole lot of favors. There was one that he just dimed to Caleb Douglas in the back of the end zone that, you know, the defender made a great play on it, but, you know, CD could have made the catch. It was like right in his hand. So I just thought, I thought Barron was really good in this game. And I don't really think anything's a demerit on him.
That you see that game and still think Will Hammond is the better option. I just don't know what Barron did wrong in this game, because there were people out there doing that. I got a couple texts. I'm like, you want us to pass for 0 yards or what? Because, like I said last week, Morton gives us a higher passing game ceiling. And this wasn't even a great passing game, and he still put up 345. And then
28 of 40 for 345.
There was a stat
against a good defense. That's a good defense
that came out this week. And I'm not a very good graph person, but very top right is us. And I think that's really good.
Yeah.
We're way above.
We're Oregon, high above and above every other team. Like nobody else is like close to us.
And quarterback also. And so it's like, I don't know what more you want from him at this point. Like that was, he had a very well good game. And we honestly spent a lot of plays on the run game in this particular matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he did exactly what you need him to do in this game. He, you know, the drops weren't his fault. He made some really nice passes. He probably would have had 4 touchdown passses if some of those balls were caught, and then people probably wouldn't be crying for Will Hammond. I thought he just did what the game gave him and took the easy passes a lot, didn't force anything, didn't turn the ball over. And so he did all the things that I wanted to see from him. I definitely thought he looked good. I thought he looked, you know, he didn't look like too hurt from his injuries in the Utah game. I thought he played quite well. And so, yeah, I was impressed with him. Defensive side of the ball, once again, only gave up 1 touchdown and a field goal, gave up a 2-point conversion. That's why it's the 11-point game. But still, no offense has figured out how to solve this Texas Tech defense so far this season. And once they gave up that touchdown, like we've been talking about all year, once they give up like a score or any points, they just get pissed off and then they turn it up a notch. And they pitched the second half shutout. So every game so far this season, they've pitched a shutout in at least a half. So they keep that streak going. But your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball against Houston? Well, once again, 3 turnovers as well in this game.
That. Still came up with 2 picks and a fumble there. The only touchdown you, I will say, allowed, not even gave up, really, allowed. You were going 0 blitz, and your safety makes a wrong play to go underneath on that. And so, like, we kind of gave them that touchdown. They didn't go earn it type deal. Yeah, great catch.
He also like, made a really good catch. Sure, like
Shieldwoods talked that up in the meeting room. Like, hey, you can't go underneath on zero. You have to be over top.
Yeah.
No matter what. I don't care if it give up 20. That's fine. Let him catch it. Hit him. Get him on the ground. We can play another down. That way you don't give up the 60-yard touchdown or whatever it was. So like that makes me feel good that they never were able to drive on us. And I mean, their quarterback, that backup, he was running for his life pretty much. Chris or Zion Chris. My favorite stat of this whole game, though, is Houston completed 10 passes. Total. Total. 10 for 25.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
And five, yeah, take out that 64 yarder. Each. Basically, you got 10 for 100. Think about it. Like, so. Like he was running for his life. Wegman got injured in the second quarter.
One play.
He was just getting hammered all day. I mean, your team had a 66% pass rush win rate. Two-thirds of the time, they were winning and getting to the quarterback somehow.
Yeah, that'll play.
Like all three of them.
God, there was that one play that looked like a – I remember you and me were just like freaking out because it looked like it should have been a screen pass, but it wasn't. like all the linemen just got beat and we had three dudes just collapsing. I think one of my predictions I got right during the game was I said kind of early on, I was like, Connor Wigman's not going to make it through this game. And we knocked him out before the half because he was just getting knocked down like every time he dropped back the pass. Almost felt bad.
That's all I got on mine. I had quite a few things written down. I'll bring some more up in our Club Red segment.
Yeah, I'm just very impressed by this defense. Like you said, you know, it was just kind of one fluke drive that gets them the score. But other than that, just nails all game. Never really let Houston get comfortable. Couldn't ever figure anything out. The run game was really just a couple QB scampers from Zion Chris that really was the majority of the run game. Dean Connors, you stuffed him 31 yards. I almost didn't even know he was playing. One of the big keys was the tight end number 9, Tanner Koziel or whatever. He had 2 receptions for 10 yards. So it was like a lot of the guys that you were kind of worried about, you just completely shut down. Connor Wegman was never comfortable. You know, the first play of the game, he throws the little backwards pass that you recover. J-Rod, he throws a pick right to J-Rod. He didn't look comfortable ever.
Gets to his left to get the interception.
And then,
most linebackers are not making that play or even getting a hand on that ball.
And then that might have not even been the best part of the play. Then he has a hurdle on the return that was really sick, too. Like, golly, the dude's awesome.
Big 12.
This defense is just
player of the year, but we got to start getting him in national defensive player of the year conversations. It's that incredible.
Yeah, he's got to be in that conversation. So far in the Big 12, just what he's done against Utah and what he's done against Houston, it's so fun to watch. And then he had like a little calf thing. I think it was just cramps. So he came out for the majority of the second half, but he went in for like one play, and immediately on that one play, he had a pass breakup. And you're just like, it's unreal watching this dude. This defense is just so fun. There's so many guys who you just love to watch on this defense. You know, John Curry was mostly him and Cole Wisnowski were mostly the guys kind of tasked with guarding that tight end, and they completely shut him down. David Bailey was just wreaking havoc
almost got a the sack entire without a helmet game. On.
Lee Hunter and Lee Hunter got penalized for getting his helmet ripped off and continuing to do the play. The guys were just balling. You know, the defense is just so fun to watch. And man, when they really get after it, it's terrifying for these offenses to watch. And I'm just happy that's on the Texas Tech side for once. Any other thoughts on the defense or offense that you wanted to hit on before we kind of dive into the penalties and recap our tailgate bets? Anything penalty wise you wanted to bring up, or, you know, it just kind of continues to plague us. Not as bad as it was against Utah.
Yeah.
But still penalties here or there that kind of hurt you in some some positions. So continuing with some procedural issues that have kind of haunted you, but anything specifically on that worrisome, that continues to worry you? Or
these today were just more timely, like a couple in the red zone that cost you. You're at the one at one point, and that ended up being a field goal because of this. So, I mean, I think it's still just more consistency issues. Like, pretty much have a whole new line and getting used to people. So, just keep giving it more time and progressing and getting better at it. I mean, I still don't think yet it's a major issue. Now, if we get two more weeks of, you know, eight for whatever, maybe it is. So that's where I'm at on it. Not cautious, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I think this is a big week to try to clean some of that up and show some improvements, because definitely next weekend when you're in Arizona State playing what's probably going to be another top 25 team, you know, you want to be able to perform there and not have so many issues, because that could be a game where a false start or a holding penalty or something really could come back to bite you in the ass. So I would like to see some cleanup on that. But yeah, right now nothing's too worrisome, because for the most part, you've just been handling the competition so well that these haven't been an issue for you. So we'll continue to monitor that as the season progresses. Hopefully Saturday, that area, not as many penalties on the field for you. Hopefully there's penalties on the other side, on the other team. But our tailgate bets recap for Texas Tech Houston. The spread was Texas Tech -11.5. We both took that. Texas Tech continues to cover every spread so far this season. The over under was 50.5. We both took the over. The under hits on that one this time, because Texas Tech's offense stalled a few times. We had to kick, I think, a program record 5 field goals in this one, or else you would have definitely blown the over out of the water. First half spread, we both had Texas Tech -6.5. Once again, Texas Tech covers the first half spread. We've basically been covering like the game spread in the first half so far, it feels like. And then our little side bet we made is, first field goal made, I went with Houston, Dustin went with Tech, and Dustin lands this one as Tech was the first team to make a field goal. They made 3 field goals to start the game.
For us, made as a record. Which, kind of good stat, kind of bad stat. Same
I think
time.
I just mentioned that a little bit ago. yeah, it's like, great, cool. Glad you did that in an easy game that you didn't really have to sweat.
No.
But at the same time, it's missed like, two. I don't want to have to kick 5 field goals. And you missed.
And still missed.
Wait,
two.
You made 5 field goals?
Five, so we kicked 7.
And still missed 2. So we kicked 7 total field goals. That's a lot of field goals. So yeah, I think Stone Harrington missed the 2 field goal attempts. There was 1 before half and 1 earlier in the game than that. So first misses from the field goal range for Stone Harrington this year, but once again, didn't really come back to bite you in the ass. So you're okay with that. But another victory brings us to another Club Red edition. So it's time to open up the club. So you know what that means. Somebody play some damn music.
Who in here trusted?
Somebody turn on some damn music!
Who in here trusted?
All right, Club Red is open once again with the Red Raider victory over the Houston Cougars. So let's turn our focus to the offensive side of the ball. Dustin, who's getting your offensive VIP for the victory?
Lots
over the
of
Cougs.
Offensive players to pick from in this game. And I'm going with Cam Dickey. I thought Cam had an amazing game. Like I said, we ran the ball 50 total times for 219 yards. He had 21 for 98. But my favorite play of the game was a little dump off to him in the middle, and he runs for 69 yards, almost 21 miles an hour down the field. parted the sea. No one was even around him, and kind of helped us start and bust this game open quick and get the visitors fans riled up early.
Yeah, and shout out to Mac Lefwich, who was super excited after that play. He was pumped up on the sideline after that. Saw somebody tweet today, I wonder how fast he was running down the sideline celebrating that play. I was like, man, that would have been a good one to clock. I'm going to stay in the running back room with you on this one and go with Jacoby Williams, who scored your other two touchdowns in this game and also broke the century mark with 19 carries for 107 yards for you. So I thought he was electric. I thought the running backs, both him and Cam Dickey, were a huge reason why you won this game. I think their development so far early this season has been a huge reason why you're 5-0. So I kind of wanted to give both of them a shout out. So I was, if you went Jacoby, I was going to go with Cam. If you went Cam, I was going to go with Jacoby. So running back room gets the VIPs for the offensive side of the ball with their performance this week. Both of them over the 100 yard mark in total yardage in this one, as Cam Dickey had 98 yards rushing and 69 receiving. So shout out to them. Defensive side of the ball, once again, a lot of names to choose from. I think at this point, it's just like J-Rod automatically gets in because he's going to automatically be awesome every game. We already know that. So here's an opportunity to shout out some of the others who will be joining him in Club VIP.
What do you got? Here's David Bailey. We mentioned a lot of his good stats.
Yeah. That one's
11
easy.
Pressures on his 22 attempts. Dalton Merriman was in a pretzel all day. 3 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble. And PFF had him graded as the best pass rusher of the week, as well as the best defensive player of the week. We racked up a huge day on that.
Yeah, just you got to be – you haven't been able to sleep, I'm imagining, if you're Dalton Merriman since that game. There is that one highlight. He just throws him on his back. Like, he just right back on his back, gets the sack. It was just an incredible David Bailey game. He's been really good so far this season, but he hasn't been like that dominating of a game like that one. I haven't watched like a pass rusher for Tech have that kind of game like that. I just was, it's just terrifying. There was so many plays, and he had like one running play where he just completely blew it up too. So just all over the place, real fun to watch, real good game from him. I'm gonna go with a guy who got his first career interception in this one, and that's Brennan Jordan, who got the pickoff there in the second half to give us the take three for the game. Got his first career interception on a deep pass, read it perfectly, got the pick, gave us the take three. I'm going to also shout out Ben Roberts for making the heads up play to grab the football on the backwards pass. That was pretty close to being, you know, like it was right down the line, but as a heads up play to go ahead and grab that ball, should have just picked it up and ran into the end zone, but you know, we'll take it. But shout out to the guys for that. So shout out to our Club Red VIPs for the week, the running back room. Jacob Rodriguez, the permanent resident. I'll throw Barron in there as well. He's the permanent resident. Once you're when you're a quarterback, you pretty much always get in. And David Bailey and Brennan Jordan for their performances in the victory over the Houston Cougars. So after that, that's a wrap on our first two conference road games. It's now time to shift our focus to the Kansas Jayhawks, where it's the number 9 Texas Tech Red Raiders versus the 4-2 Kansas Jayhawks Saturday night at the Jones. It's a blackout, a 6:30 kickoff. Already seeing the profile pictures. It's going to be a fun one. Dustin, what are your thoughts on Texas Tech return to the Jones for the first home conference game
finally
of the season?
It's been forever. Month between home games is way too long. I mean, we're in a...
We had three straight home games, and then you go three straight weeks with nothing. Yeah,
it's good that you have. I mean, everything's still lined up. Your team's been playing so well. You had 2 great away team games. You had a good crowd at this Houston game. Kind of probably bring that itch back for our players. You have a night game.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome. And debuting some new jerseys that are sweet. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be electric and fun. And, like, personally, I'm tired of Kansas and Jalen Daniels thinking they're good. So I'm ready to kind of put them back in their place.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been, you know, 4-2. They're all right. They're, you know, they should be probably like 5-1 right now. Maybe could be undefeated. They blew that game to Cincinnati. They blew the game to Missouri. So they're right there being a close 5-1, 6-0 with you. I too am also just tired of Jalen Daniels. Feels like he's been there for so long. They're always like on the cusp of being great, but he's always injured and they never have a good defense. They kind of remind me a little bit of a tech teams that we used to have to watch. But yeah, I mean, it's a huge game. It's, you know, each game as you go on the season is just going to get bigger and bigger. So this is obviously the most important game. You know, Joey's been very adamant about the crowd being there, showing up, being loud when the defense is out there, wanting to bring that energy that Utah had to Lubbock on when the other teams out there playing, try to cause some penalties, cause some chaos for this Kansas offense. And so I definitely think the crowd's going to be awesome. I'm very excited for this game. You know, last year I remember the atmosphere at the Colorado game being really awesome for that one. I expect this one to be beyond that. You know, we've been craving for a good Texas Tech football team to watch at home, and you got a big game, 6:30 night game, like you said, New Jersey's homecoming weekend. I just expect it to be an awesome atmosphere, and I cannot wait to be at the Jones Saturday night for it. What are your thoughts on, you know, just this
that's
environment
a good comparison,
that we're going to have?
Yeah, that was probably our last like big home game, even regardless of the opponent. We're just showing up for our own team type deal.
Yeah. And at that time, if you won that game, you had a chance to go to the Big 12 championship. So, you know, it had a lot of impact
on
your season, you know.
So we're on main Fox again. Am I right with that? Main Fox again this week and next week. And I mean, this last game in the defense has put the media like on notice, and we're starting to get for some recognition of how good we are, and keep putting us on national main television in some primetime games. I mean, you're going to continue to be in the spotlight. So I'm glad there's attention on it. And I mean, I know like McGuire doesn't shy away from that. So, I mean, so it's all good for us from here.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, you know me, I listen to the Levitard show, and like they're talking about who do we know are good teams in college football. And they are constantly like, Texas Tech's good. Like, they're good. And you know, just the media, and a lot of people, and we knew it, a lot of eyes were going to be on us this year because of what we did in the portal and kind of how we've gone about it, the amount of money that we've spent. You knew a lot of eyes were going to be paying attention to us to see how we would do. But, you know, a lot of the returns so far have been great, and people are taking notice of that. People understand, all right, this is a really good team. This is a really good defense. Okay, yeah, you can nitpick our schedule a little bit, but what are we doing to these teams? We're blowing them out of the water. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing against teams that you're significantly better than. Like, you're not even close in these games. Oregon State, blow them out. Utah, blow them out. Houston, blow them out. Like, you haven't had a game within under 24 points so far this season. So, people are taking notice. People are watching you. The more eyes you get on us, the more you win, the more people are going to be focused on you. And so, yeah, it's just going to be a really exciting opportunity Saturday night at the Jones to do something we haven't done in a long time, which is move to 6-0, get bowl eligibility halfway through the season, not have to sweat that one out, have that done, and then set your eyes on what would be a really big game against Arizona State. So, it's going to be an exciting Saturday in Lubbock, Texas. Just ready to get back out there, watch these guys after they've gone on the road, proved how good that they can be, and reward them with a loud, loud fan base on Saturday night. Offense has gone up against a couple good defenses so far in conference play, but Kansas does not bring that to the table. They have one of the worst defenses in the conference, so... when we shift our focus to Barron, Mac Leftwich in this offense, how are you feeling after, you know, putting up 34 and 35 against Utah and Houston, still pretty good. But what do you expect to see against a poor Kansas defense on Saturday?
I expect a lot. I mean, I don't know what much more you can do from what you did in Houston, because you had over 200 rushing, over 300 passing. That's pretty much a perfect dialed up type game. And like, I expect something similar. And if you can continue to run the ball like this, I really don't know how you stop us, because you start putting another person in the box to stop those guys, you're not going to be able to cover anybody. And so like, it's starting to become a real problem with Cam Dickey and Jacoby figuring it out behind this really good offensive line. And so like, we might have a situation where we run for more than we pass in this game. Like, that'd be fun to do. Yeah. That'd be fun to see.
I would not be like, against that. I want to see Jacoby break one off just like
we've
a really long
in the passing
run
game a little bit, but not the run game. So like, I just don't know. I mean, they got one decent defensive end, and that's about it. But with our tackles, I don't see him touching Barron at all.
Yeah, I just don't really see them being a problem. And I think, like you brought up, the Houston game was pretty dang good offense. You just couldn't cash in. I think at home, back from the bye week, like you know, the guys are back in a groove now. I don't think you're going to have the drop issues that you had last week this week. I think you're going to probably be able to cash in a little bit more on the, instead of five field goals, score a few more touchdowns. And this offense is really going to get clicking. They're going to be antsy to get back in front of the crowd. I think that's going to help them being back in front of in the Jones, back in front of Red Raider Nation. And I think you're going to see an explosive performance from this offense against a defense that I don't really know how they are going to stop us. Because like you said, the running game has really become something that I don't think any of us really expected. I think we expected it when we had Quentin Joyner. I think we were a little curious what it's going to be once we lost him. But, you know, both Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams are just playing so good right now, and they can beat you in both different ways. Cam Dickey with his physicalness, Jacoby with his quickness, but he's also physical running through guys. So, I just don't know how you stop us if we're running the ball, if our line's creating lanes for them to run the ball and pass protecting like they've been. I don't see how Kansas is going to be able to stop us. The other side of the ball, offense, I do think, you know, we are tired of talking about Jalen Daniels. He is he will be the best quarterback you've played so far this season, in my opinion. And this Kansas offense is a good offense. I definitely think they're the best offense that you've played so far this season. So they bring their own different challenges to that. What are your expectations for this defense as we go up against Jalen Daniels? And kind of once again, you know, the running quarterback fears that Texas Tech fans have, like, I'm still going to carry that with me into this game, even though we've done a good job over against mobile quarterbacks so far this season.
Jalen Daniels is a problem. I mean, I guess just hit him in the back once and he might be out, but it helps that we, you know, we played that backup for Houston, who's a little Jalen Daniels-like. He's going to give you a little look of what we're going to have. Jalen's going to look to run a lot. I mean, he has as many rushing attempts as their running back does. They scheme it up for him also. So, you know, he's a little Lamar Jackson-like back there. I just wonder, I'm not worried about like the passing game part, but just if he does escape, how do we contain him? You know, the couple games we have seen kind of a mobile quarterback, we contained really well and closed very fast. Didn't let him have one-on-ones and get loose. And, you know, with that D-line and then our linebackers playing so free, I'm not as worried as I would have been in the past when we have to commit so much to the pass rush game that we don't have lanes covered and whatnot. But I'm not as worried about that in this for those guys up front. But, yeah, I mean, the other thing, McDaniel has really good numbers right now. I mean, he put up 235 against UCF, but in 445 against Cincinnati in a loss. But, like, they played some trash teams besides Missouri that they also lost to. So, like, am I that worried about their offense? Not really.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you did against Utah was really encouraging to me for this game. I know Kansas is a little bit better offensively, I believe. than Utah. And I think Jaden Daniels is used to this kind of competition as Devin Dampier. That was kind of like his first, come to reality type performance, I think. But yeah, that gives me a lot of encouragement that we're going to be able to stop this team. And, you know, I really haven't feared a team's run game so far. You know, I think just some broken down plays here and there is what's really could be the only thing that really gets you. I don't really see, like, so far this year, that's the only way teams have been able to run on you is just maybe a broken down play and a quarterback scampering. No running back's been able to do anything at all against you. So I'm not worried about that. Receivers haven't been able to torch you. I know they got a couple of decent receivers that you got to be a little bit worried about. So this will be like our first, I think, real big test for our corners going up against probably the best receivers that they'll have played so far this season. So I'm very curious about that, especially with Jordan Tyson looming next week. So it'll be good to see them go up against, I think, some legit weapons on offense. But I just, until I see a team do it to our defense, I just don't know if I can believe that a team can do it. Like, can Jalen Daniels survive this game? Like,
totally.
I mean, if he's getting hit like Connor Wigman is, like, and we've seen how fragile he can be, like, does he make it through the entirety of this game? Like, that's a question.
Yeah, and I was going to bring up the receiver thing too, because this is the first time you've played an actual legit wide receiver, college wide receiver, I should say. Emmanuel Henderson Jr.
Right.
He's got 28 for 488 and 4 touchdowns, along a 93 on that as well. So, interesting to see, but
yeah,
we upgraded both our corners and the safeties, so like, they've been great. Pass rush has been so good. We'll see if he can even get the ball to Henderson.
Yeah, we'll see. And their second leading receiver is a tight end. And, you know, so far, you know, tight ends haven't been a bother because you got John Curry and Cole Wisnowski out there kind of shutting down that position. So I don't think you have to worry if Houston's – I do believe Houston's tight end's a little bit better and you really shut him down. So, I'm definitely curious to see what the defense looks like this week going against what I believe to be the superior offense to what you face so far. And if they continue to do what they've done and make this team struggle and make it hard for Kansas to find the end zone, then I'm just, you know, I'm already pretty full in on this defense. But if they can do that to Jalen Daniels too, then I just don't really see in any other teams being able to figure out how to beat this defense in the Big 12 conference, at
not
least.
At all.
So any other thoughts you got on Kansas? Are you ready to go ahead and make our picks for the week? All right, let's make our tailgate bets for Texas Tech versus Kansas Saturday night, 6:30 kickoff at the Jones. It's a blackout. Make sure you wear your black. I know a lot of people are eager to wear their new, you know, 100-year anniversary throwback jerseys. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot of those at the stadium. Going to be a fun one and a rowdy one Saturday. So the spread, Texas Tech, 14.5 point favorites as of today. Dustin, so far this year, we've been riding Tech, and it's been kind to us. I'm assuming you're riding with Tech as well here. Yeah, 14.5 to me is also what I believe we will be probably winning by, probably more than that in the first half. So we'll go ahead and do that. First half spreads, Texas Tech -7.5. I'm assuming you have Texas Tech there as well. Yeah, we've covered both first half and full game spread so far since we've been doing this. Over under 58.5 points.
Over.
What are you going with? Going over. I've got to do some calculation on my scoring right quick. I'm also going over. So both over. Dustin, your score prediction.
Going really similar to last week, but I can't help myself with the matchup. I mean, I'm going 52-17. I know I picked 17 again for Houston, but I think Jalen Daniels can actually score 2.5 touchdowns. I don't know how they stop us unless we drop the ball so many times and don't score 50 on our own.
I'm also very close to you. I have 48-17.
How we don't.
One, I don't. Yeah. until I see a team put up 20 points on us, I'm just not going to predict it. I already feel bad picking 17 points because we haven't seen a team do that to us. Like already like picking two touchdowns against us seems like ridiculous. But 48 feels like in range. That's where you should have been against Houston if you cash in a couple field goals. And I'm with you, like 52, 48. I could see this being anywhere 45 to 55 range, points wise. And so I just don't really see them stopping you. And I think this can be one of those games where kind of turn it on early and blow them out. Maybe they get some points at the end. That's kind of what makes it maybe look a little bit nicer. We're going to go back to the well on what I thought was a fun one from the Utah game, but we're going to do highest scoring quarter here. Last time you went second, I went fourth quarter. I'll let you choose to, the quarter you're going with as the highest scoring quarter for this one.
The third quarter, we come out of halftime and really see what we're doing first, second half, and just open it up and dice them where they were given to us, and probably get like a pick six or fumble six in there also.
There nice. Go. I'm going first quarter. I'm going to go. We get started. Hell first yeah. Drive touchdown, maybe a turnover, something, kind of try to copy what we did against Utah, except punch it into the end zone a couple times, start off the game hot, and then never look back from there. And the Red Raiders waltz to a 6-0 record, with their sights shifting to Arizona State in the Sun Devils. All right. Anything else you got for Texas Tech football this week? All right. Well, that will do it for Texas Tech football. But before we get out of here, let's do our final shots. Dustin, your final shot for the week.
I think there's only one thing we got to talk about. That is the new...
Yeah.
The new logo,
the biggest news of the day.
Texas Tech Athletics, the leveled double T.
The leveled the bevel, finally, for Texas Tech fans have been calling for it.
Looks like basketball has already done it. There's a live video of the court already being redone. And so I would just assume from basketball on, it will be the flat double T. Football will be the last sport you see with this 3D double T for the future. And I've kind of mentioned it before, but like I kind of got mixed feelings on this. I mean, I like the logo and whatnot, but I think you get more pop out of it when it's your secondary logo. You're using it, you know, less than 50% of the time, and it's, we're doing a throwback or an alternate, or, oh, look how this cool random design we just want to do. I think you get more pop out of it that way. Now, I am excited from what they've kind of rolled out today. Athletics has done a great job with this rollout. One, we didn't know it was coming till last night.
Yeah, first it was like dropped it on us last night. We're all like, what the hell? Like, phase two.
Picture or video or something. Yeah. And they had one that basically was like, showed the different double T and a bunch of different backgrounds and colors and with the different reds and whites and blacks.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, hey, if they can capitalize on that as well, they also came out with what looks like some alternate logos using this flat double T and mascots as well.
Yeah.
So like,
yes, the Red Raider or Raider Red playing multiple sports, playing all the sports is going to be,
you're really going to do like variety and switch it up type thing and really use the entire concept of it. And it's not just one logo for everything. That's where I can really get behind this.
Yeah. I think that's what excites me the most. I am a fan of both of the logos. I have always said, I don't really care as long as I can buy stuff with both logos on it. I'm cool. Like I just want to be able to buy stuff with the old level, the bevel double T. And as long as I could do that, I don't have much of a gripe. I do like it when we have those jerseys. I do think it's a really cool, clean look. I've have an affinity for the beveled logo as well. I think it's a nice clean one. I grew up with that one basically. So, but I do like the color variations that they presented. You know, they've got the white,
They've got the white with black, white with red, yep. red with white, red with black, black with white, black with red versions. I like that, and I like the ideas of, oh, we're going to have different double T's on the helmets, on the jerseys, and you know, you're going to be able to buy hats and shirts and all the stuff with all the different logos on there. I like the other variations that we're doing with it. Like you said, there's, you know, the Masked Rider version, there's the Texas version, then there's all the different Red Raider or Raider Red doing each yeah. sport that we participate in, which are going to be really cool. So I just like the amount of things that you can do with this. I think it really opens it up. I think like our jersey combinations are going to be pretty cool once you get this double T going, and the things you can do with the helmets yeah. with different colored double T's is going to create some pretty cool opportunities. So I just expect some really cool stuff to come out, and that's what I'm excited for. And so I'm never going to be mad at more opportunities to buy more tech stuff. And so, yeah, now it just makes me wonder if the beveled logo in several years will become the throwback that that we start throwing through.
I've been craving this for years now, but literally in 3 football seasons, you can do the 20th anniversary of the 08 team. You can do your throwbacks.
Yeah.
With the Crabtree Herald
throwback, yeah,
saber-tooth tiger jerseys mm-hmm. and the glittery black helmet and that double T. There you go. It's going to be a throwback.
Yeah, that'd be cool. See, I'd love that. That'd be awesome. I'd be like, yeah. I mean, that would already kind of be a throwback because we don't have just the glittery helmet anymore. You know, we have the stripe now. So, but yeah, pretty cool day. Like you said, I enjoyed how they rolled it all out. It was what's going to happen. And then they brought in Baron and Nyjah for it. And then they, once again, the helicopter pulling off the beveled logo to the level, the beveled logo. And then constant rollouts of, hey, we're also having this. Here's the brand identity. Here's a video behind the scenes of creating it. Just stuff. Yeah. Your thoughts on, I've seen some other fan bases kind of poo-poo this logo. What are your thoughts on that? Hey, if it's not your school, like, kind of shut the fuck up.
It's not a massive rebrand like Vanderbilt did a few years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's, if you're in the Texas Tech, you know, universe, you kind of know this has been online for the last few years, and athletics has brought it up more and more just with the uniforms over the last few years. So like it's been around, so like I don't care what they say. I mean, unless you have an all-star logo, whatever, like, but
at the end of the day, it's a double T, and I don't get why people I saw some people like, wow, this is bad. I'm like, what yeah, what's bad about it? It's like a double T.
Yeah,
like, what are you supposed to do
that, but yeah. No, I think if you're not in the Tech universe, you don't know it's been wanted for the last 2 years, so that's fine. They can bitch about it.
Yeah, I just think it's funny to bitch about another school's logo update, unless it's just like Vanderbilt's, which was pretty lame, just a V. But anyway, yeah, that was the big news of the day in Raiderland. Going back to the level, the bevel logo. So I know a lot of people are excited for that, ready for that. I'm ready for all the merch and stuff that's going to come out of it. It's going to be awesome. And so, yeah, got to save up, I guess. I did go and buy one of those Patrick Mahomes galvanized t-shirts. I got the polo.
That'd be sweet.
So I'll be ready to rock that when BYU comes to town. But that will do it for us here. Yeah, that was going to be my final shot, so I don't really have anything else to add other than that. That's the significant thing to talk about today in other Texas Tech world. But that'll do it for us today here at Tailgate Talks. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you're enjoying this Texas Tech football season as much as we are. We cannot wait to get out there Saturday night at the Jones for a packed house, for a party at the Jones. See this defense go do their thing. See this offense do their thing. And hopefully move to 6-0. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your tailgates for the game. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next one.